You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off tonight by saying ENN is brought to you by our friends at Sloman's, and I'd like to say good evening to Michael.
I will go after the dead.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
He was in the pool, and it was startling.
Good evening to myself. The N is capital in McNeil, right? And to myself again. Bend over. Pluck one. And lastly, to Mike Breen, good evening.
Fudgy the Whale is a cake.
You know what, Michael? It's growing on me.
It will. It's going to real. I'd say it's a 5 seed.
I'm getting more and more into this as time goes on.
Well, because it's an iconic broadcaster talking about an iconic cake.
That's a great point. I could hear Mike Breen do an entire podcast about Fudgy the Whale. Let's start with the New York Jets for a moment, shall we? Mekhi Becton with the team today. Let's hear Coach Bob Sala on Becton.
Every player is important to every position that we have. The NFL, like, the rosters are so small, every player matters. And obviously we're all aware of the talent that he possesses, the size, the athleticism, the physicality, all of it. And he's really smart. So having him on the offensive line to move people off their spot so the running back has running lanes and the quarterback can sit in the pocket and buy a hitch. So, yeah, he's important. And if he takes care of his business like we know he can be transcendent.
That taking care of the business, that's what gets me. He means his weight. What else
right.
would he mean?
Yeah. If he can drop a few LBs. And he said, any player big or small, I got news for you about Mekhi. He's not small.
Now, it's there are people that struggle with their weight. And just because
I know three of them. They host a radio show in New York.
And just because you're a professional athlete, Peter, this is where I kind of disagree with Michael, it doesn't make it easier. I understand there's a lot on the line, but if he like legitimately
you disagree with Michael's take that it's just as simple as you don't put an effort.
Right. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, Michael is right, but if it's a legitimate problem for him, just because there's a lot on the line, there's a lot on the line for people that are trying to lose weight for health reasons. It doesn't make it any easier for them to do it.
But then you can't be in this business. I mean, because this business is about your body.
No, ultimately, but what I'm saying is it may not necessarily be him being lazy. Now, I think in this world, if there is a problem, I guess it would probably behoove him to maybe say there is. You know, hey, I'm working on my weight, but he's so defiant about it that it's hard to root for him, where if he had just come across and say, listen, I know it's a problem, I'm working my tail off, I'm trying real hard, it's not working out, maybe you could feel for him a little bit, but he just seems so defiant. So I can understand you having your opinion that maybe it is just he doesn't feel like he has to or he's just lazy.
Yeah, I tend to disagree with Michael a bit there as well. I mean, it could be an indicator that he has no discipline, or it could be an indicator that this is just a struggle for him and he will get there. He has his ups and downs. I mean, Michael should certainly appreciate a yo-yo. His nickname could be yo-yo.
But when I put my mind to it, I lose weight, period. I'll starve myself. I'll lose weight.
That is
because,
true.
Because you don't have a problem.
But I obviously do have a problem because if I ate the way I wanted to eat without discipline, then I would be 300 bills.
But the lack of discipline.
If I wasn't on TV, right. I would balloon up. I'd have no problem. It would probably affect my health. But because that's part of my job, I can't look like a fat cow on the air.
I make sure
I lose weight.
But you're saying the problem is like a metabolism. I'm saying the problem is that maybe he doesn't have that discipline. Not Not that he's not a great athlete or disciplined to stay on side or whatever. It's just he really maybe can't stop eating.
Well, then I agree. I said he doesn't have discipline. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He doesn't have discipline. That's not good.
It worries me. It worries me.
Well, you could tell, and give the Jets credit, too, because they're obviously not trying to throw him under the bus, but at the same time, they got to answer the question.
Mekhi Becton saying that he'll prove the doubters wrong.
Do you feel like people have kind of written you off already?
Yeah, and I don't understand why, but it's all good, though. I'm going to make them eat their words.
Here's the reason he doesn't understand why. He had knee surgery, right, which they said was not going to keep him out the whole year. It was, I don't even know, a couple of games, maybe a month, missed the entire season. So how do you say you don't understand why? And many of the reasons that were filtering out was he was too heavy to rehab a bad knee that had surgery on it. That's how. So you should understand why people are saying this, Mekhi.
Now let's hear from, let's move on from Mekhi. By the way, I've really matured as a person, guys. Every part of me wanted to make a joke about him saying they'll eat their words, but I didn't because I'm better than them.
You are better. You are better.
Fudgy's well as a cake.
I'd say 2 days ago you might have gone that route.
Not today, though.
No.
Because I am a friend of the old and the fat. Let's go to another Jet. Zach Wilson asked, how good can this team be?
I mean, I guess we'll see. I really do have a lot of confidence in myself to be able to see. You know, obviously, I think I can be one of the best. And I think if anybody doesn't say that, then they're not a true competitor. So,
does Keyshawn Johnson agree that Zach could be awesome?
I wouldn't have taken him number two out of BYU at all. That's just me. I would have taken a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields. To me, I wouldn't have did it. But clearly, they saw something different in him than me, and they wind up taking him. I just wouldn't have did it. I think if they put everything around, they certainly have built a drafted and got some free agents that I like, that I think that they could put around him to be successful. But we got to wait and see, right? We just got to see what it is.
It's not wrong.
Well, I mean, certainly no one knows what the hell's going on at this point. We are far away. We are deep in the we're one season into reliving Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
Hey, they took
that doesn't mean
overall.
It can't change. It's going to change, but so far we have no idea.
This isn't Shane taking over with Daniel Jones already here. Joe Douglas drafted this guy. So he has to believe in him. He picked him second overall. So he's going to get him weapons to kind of prove it. But we didn't select him, and a guy like Keyshawn said he wouldn't have taken him. So you can understand people saying, all right, well, let's see. Let's see if it's just needing more weapons or does he have to improve. I think it's a little of both. I think he needs weapons, but, boy, he needs to improve.
Golden State Warriors are, I don't want to say the words, on the verge. But they are one win away.
That's all. That's it.
From an NBA championship.
I think that's on the verge.
But maybe not on the verge.
How so?
If the Celtics win, no more verge.
They're still on the verge.
No, they're still
one win away. They'd be both on the verge.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable framing it that way. But they are one win away from the championship. And Klay Thompson spoke about the situation they're in. With regard to winning this title, they're in the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years.
Crazy.
And so there is a cautious optimism in the locker room with that 3-2 lead, but they're not celebrating yet. Quote, you do yourself a disservice if you think about things that don't even exist, Clay said. Andre Iguodala expressed that clinching is the hardest game you can possibly play. I mean, I have to imagine, Don, you know what it's like? The final game, clinching a series in the NBA playoffs, it's like a horror movie finishing off Michael Myers. You know, like, you think the evil character's dead.
Right.
But they're gonna fight for every last bit of life. That's what you're dealing with against a group of professional athletes who are all going to do everything. And say what you will about the Celtics, they have not been good the last two games. I don't sense fear in them at all. They don't seem like that kind of team.
I think they're scared.
I think you're a terrible guy.
I will go after the dead.
I will tell you this. I'll tell you this, Peter. I'll make a prediction.
Go ahead.
If Larry Bird comes out in like a Celtic warm-up top, the Celtics will win by 20 points. If Larry Bird is nowhere to be seen, they lose tomorrow.
Who do you bring out?
Who else could show up besides Bird?
I don't know if Bill...
Ed Hospodar.
Bill Russell, he's really up there in age. I'm not sure he would risk traveling. That would be a pretty cool one. Bob Cousy and some of the firemen and plumbers that he played with, according to J.J. Redick.
By the way, someone made the best point on Twitter about J.J. last week. Remember when J.J. got mad about, like, not having enough respect for current players, as he saw it, at least, with Stephen A.? And someone said, kind of hard to listen to that point for a guy who referred to the contemporaries of Bob Cousy as construction workers and firefighters. So that time in the league, no respect. Current time in the league, must get respect. But either way, we will see, but one person who will not see any games in person for the Golden State Warriors will be Dawson Gurley, otherwise known as Fake Klay Thompson. Fake Klay has been permanently banned from the Chase Center after successfully getting onto the court before Game 5.
You're banned!
I'll tell you now, what, he looks just like him, Peter.
Well, not really. He looks just like him wearing a full uniform and having his facial hair shaped the same way.
Yeah.
Right. But he doesn't actually look like him. By the way, Don, here's my question. Should he be permanently banned? Did he do anything illegal?
Yeah. Going to court, you're not allowed.
But everyone let him go. He walked into the stadium with a ticket. Ticket scanned, went inside.
All right, so let me present this for you.
Set the scene.
You walk into a bank with a gun. You go up to the teller and say, "Give me your money."
Jam it up!
And the teller gives you all the money. They open the safe, they give it. You don't fire a shot. You walk out. Should you not be arrested because they gave it to you?
Don, I thought his take earlier was the worst and laziest he's ever had. That might have been the dumbest thing you've ever said on the show.
Why? You're saying they let him do it.
One is robbery. The other one's not.
It's trespassing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, he had a
ticket. He walked into the building legally.
But he walked onto the court, you said.
He did. He shot around on the court.
Well, there you go. That's trespassing.
Did anybody ever ask him, "Are you Klay Thompson?"
No, people just started assuming he was.
All right, well, because this is the rub. Is he impersonating Klay if he never claimed to be Klay?
He's got Klay's uniform on, Don.
I understand that.
And he kept missing shots, so he's doing a perfect imitation of him this postseason. No,
but Peter makes a very good point, though. He bought a ticket to the game, dressed up as him, but never claimed to be him. He didn't falsify a pass.
Nope.
Or he just took advantage of the ignorance of the people that should know better. Is that a crime? Now, if he said, "I'm Klay Thompson," well, then he's impersonating Klay, and that is a crime to impersonate somebody for that kind of access. But if
Don, you can't walk to Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center and while the teams are warming up, take the ball and walk out on the court and shoot. It's trespassing.
But I understand. But here's the thing: if I'm at the Garden during warmups,
right,
and I just walk onto the court and no one stops me, and I start taking shots, and then walk back off the court and sit in my seat, did I? Who's at fault here, me or security for letting it happen? Now, if I push my way through, claim to be somebody I'm not, show a pass that is
there you go.
That's not
now
right.
We're talking.
You know that's counterfeit. Like I.
Don, he's wearing a full Warriors warm-up.
But Don, you're with me.
I understand both points of view. But like, if I'm a judge sitting there, all right, what crime was committed here? Did he enter the building without a ticket? No, he had a ticket. Did he have fake credentials? No. Did he claim to be Klay Thompson? No. Well, exactly where did he cross illegally?
Isn't his fake pass the way he's dressed?
If you want to get to the like, Michael, if you wanted to make the better comp as opposed to the horrifying one you had earlier, you would have said someone dressing up as a police officer and impersonating a police officer, that would be closer to what this is. But what I'm saying is, it's clearly not the right thing to do. I believe life ban is a lot for that, considering he didn't falsify.
And also, there's a lot of other people that are accomplices that allowed this to happen. The ignorance of security. Because like you said, when you really look up close, he's not Clay Thompson.
Not even close.
I think the effort, you just say, there's some sort of a fine, some sort of banishment. But like lifetime, you almost want to give him credit for the effort.
Well, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, tweeted at the gentleman, Dawson Gurley, and said, they don't want you in Golden State. Come and play in Brooklyn. Hashtag fake tampering.
That's pretty funny.
I thought it was. I actually thought it was kind of cute from Joe Tsai. I didn't know that Joe Tsai weighed in on Twitter. Is that
a thing? Joe Tsai's very funny. He does like sets at the comic strip.
That's not true.
He headlines the Brandy Scott show.
And Patrick Beverly weighed in. Hey, yo, fake Clay, when the Timberwolves play Golden State next season, we need you on the floor at Target Center, gang. So, listen, at least he made some friends.
But, so see, this reaction shows you that the lifetime ban is
too much.
Is too much.
Because
this guy received the same ban as the other guy did for cold-cocking somebody.
Right, exactly. There you go. Come on.
And, Don, there's no way that, like, players and owners would be so amused by this if they actually thought it was truly bad. They'd want to protect their own.
I love Pat Bev calling him Yo Fake Clay.
So I was thinking, Peter, if you want, like, if Boston wanted to bring out everybody, all right. So obviously Bill may not be able to travel. So what? Larry Bird would be the next best Celtic.
And then you bring on Fake Clay.
Well, Larry would be number one.
All right. So and the Bruins, you bring in Bobby Orr. Now with the Patriots, can't bring Brady. So I guess it would be Belichick.
Why can't you bring Brady?
Well, because Brady's now a Buccaneer, and the
but
fans
still,
leave. Boo.
It would be the place would go nuts if you bring in Brady.
I don't know. Would they, Peter?
I don't
hate Brady.
I don't hate Brady, but he's a Buck. He left. After he retired,
titles.
No question, it would be Tom.
Oh, after he retires, it's absolutely Brady. Yeah. I hear what Don's saying though. He's active on the Bucks. The problem
well, then
is
it's got to be Belichick.
But if you went player. Who would it be?
By the way,
Bruschi?
What about the great Troy Brown?
Edelman?
Edelman wouldn't be bad. Gronk!
Gronk, that's
no,
Gronk's
still active.
On another team, too.
Still
well,
active.
He's retired right now.
Right, right.
Well, it depends on the day.
Well, we didn't mention a Red Sox, and it's unfortunate because Mookie Betts is no longer.
Well, I would say it's probably Ortiz. Just because how much they
and
love him.
And he's been there. That happened two
or
weeks
Pedro.
Ago.
Or Pedro. I think you got to pull out all stops. I think you bring out Paul Revere's family.
That's big. Ted Danson.
Yeah.
I like it. Shelley Long. And Kirstie Alley.
And Kirstie. Get them all together.
Okay. Yeah.
The whole crew from Cheers.
You just mentioned Tom Brady. Our old friend, Robin Lundberg, for Sports Illustrated, spoke to Brady today and asked him how long he plans on playing.
How long do you think you could continue to play if you were compelled to?
How long could I play, hypothetically? Because I love hypothetical questions. I could play as long as I'm willing to make the commitment to play, and I don't think that it's going to be another 5 years, I'll say that. So I just have too many other things that are happening, and my kids are probably the biggest one. You know, they're not getting any younger, and I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm there for the moments that they need me there for. So I love playing. I love working in football. I'm going to continue to work in football when I am done playing.
You got to start with the family things. You're out. You could have helped raise them this year, and you decide to come back. Stop with that.
And also,
and then you signed a deal for 10 years with Fox to be away every weekend.
And he said he could play till he's 50. Now, he's 44. He said, I'm not going to play another 5 years. I can tell you that. So I guess 50's now off the table.
Yeah, we'll see. This guy can't give it up.
What's your gut prediction for how long it goes?
Two more years.
I need to see.
Maybe even three. I think one more with the. Then he gets to choose where
no
he wants
way
to play.
Three. No way three.
Well, but he, what if he wants to go with the Dolphins? Dolphins give him like $50 million a year for 2 years. $100 million?
I still think at some point you're going to start to see it. And this might be the year.
But he's so good looking.
I have a feeling that we're going to have a conversation sometime during the football season and say, boy, I maybe.
He's still good,
but you're going to – because it just happened. We had the same conversation with Derek Jeter. Oh, he's going to get 4,000 hits. Then all of a sudden it just happens. Yes, some are gradual, Peter, but a lot of times with athletes, it just – in 1 year it can just all change.
God, and, isn't it crazy? It felt like it was happening early on in that playoff game, and then all of a sudden they came roaring back, and you started to believe they were going to the Super Bowl.
Now, the team is really good, you know, so he's not on a bad team that sometimes can make you look bad. They'll be 45 at the start of the season. Peter, I'm telling you, at some point, father time is going to catch up with you. I know it's crazy, everything that he has overcome, and he has defied the odds. He's like Nolan Ryan. He's like Chris Chelios, guys that play deep into their 40s. But at some point, it just – maybe it'll be an injury, something. You just can't play at this level this deep into your 40s. It just doesn't make sense. Even George, how old was George Foreman? Everybody was flabbergasted. What was Foreman, 45. 40?
45 when he won the title. Like 41, 42 when he came back.
Yeah, and we were like, oh, my. I mean, I remember, like, I forget how old I was. I guess it was probably in my 20s, and I remember thinking, oh, my God, he's an old man. Like, it was just crazy, right? And Brady's beyond that now. And I was just going out there and fighting twice a year.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, now the highest paid safety in football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 4-year contract extension, more than $18 million per year.
Well, holy crap.
$36 million guaranteed.
They paid the safety.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, Don, the Lightning are getting back Braden Point.
They are.
After missing the last couple series. Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Kevin Weeks on keys for the Avs to get by the Lightning.
Vasilevskiy is the best in the business, as you alluded to. Some folks in New York would say Shesterkin as well. If he can see it, he's going to stop it. You have to get disruption in and around him. Take away the sight lines. Be off to the back post. Have a player in and around the net at all time and try to screen him and get in his line of sight. If he can see it, as mentioned, he's the best goalie in the world. Odds are he's going to make the save.
That's how you score in the playoffs. They don't see it. That's how they beat Shesterkin for the most part. Point's really good.
Brian Trottier was on with Barton Hahn. Here's his outlook on the Stanley Cup Final, which starts tonight.
It's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, great goaltending on both sides. You know, you got great young talent with the Avalanche. You got some veteran warriors with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they're young, but, you know, when you win two or three cups, all of a sudden they look at you as a veteran warrior. I think it's great. The guys are like late 20s, early 30s. They're in the prime of their life.
No, Brian, you lost me on the great goaltending on both sides.
Go ahead.
You know, what is he, Kemper's agent? I mean, that's... I mean, I'm not saying they can't win the cup. I predicted Colorado in seven because their firepower is just so strong. But it's a mismatching goal. A mismatch. But we've seen teams with average goaltending win because the team in front of them was so good. Colorado might be on that level. But great goaltending on both sides. Brian, come back to me. Love you.
Love you.
Don't want to get, like, you know, angry tweets from Islander fans. They get very upset.
Dan Snyder will not testify at the congressional hearings about the Washington Commanders. He informed the Oversight Committee by letter that he will be out of the country when the June 22nd hearing commences.
Come on.
Congress is, of course, investigating the workplace behavior of the Washington Commanders organization, the workplace culture, sexual misconduct, accusations and others.
Peter, don't you, if you are innocent and you think that this is all a joke, then wouldn't you want to be there to defend yourself and your franchise? And him not being there, that's a joke. He's out of the country. Fly back in. It's kind of important stuff. We're testifying about the misgivings of the franchise that you own for now. And Peter, every night, as he prays to God to go before he goes to bed, now I lay me down to sleep. Please let Daniel Snyder lose this team.
It almost rhymes. lastly, on this day, 14.
Wait. 14 years ago.
If you get this done, I will give you $100.
So 14, that would be.
But you only get a minute.
Wait, so this is 2008.
Sure.
June 15th, 2008. Mm-hmm. Nope. I got none.
Let me throw out the name Rocco Mediate. Do you remember that name?
He's a golfer. That's all I can tell
you. On this day, 14 years ago, on a bad leg, Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open
Golf is
Championship
garbage.
After forcing a playoff, shocking Rocco and the golf world. Another win for Tiger.
I thought I was going to feel bad about it. And I'm swelled with pride.
Right, you do it again. You'd say no. You'd say you don't
I would
know
definitely
again.
Do it again.
That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening. It's brought to you by our friends at Sloman Shield. Protect your family. Keep your home safe. Call them today, 1-800-ALARM-ME. That's 1-800-ALARM-ME.
I know you drive this ship, and you do it well.
Thank you.
But I wanted to tease something.
Go ahead.
Now, our guy, Chris Russo.
You're talking Mad Dog.
Was on First Take because it's Wednesday.
You're right. Get a rating!
And he had a list.
Ooh.
Did you see this?
No, but I love this. Are you teasing me with a list from Russo?
I'm teasing you with a Mad Dog list.
Oh, and do you have issues with this list?
I yes and no. There's some I agree with and some I'm like, I'm not sure.
I'm very excited to hear this. All right, we'll dive into Russo's list when we get back and take your calls, 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don on The K Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.